Well, that's for sure. We need to learn to lean on Him. And He'll always be there and be stable. There we go. You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Psalms, Psalm 11. It's good to be here tonight. I've heard some folks say that's a little older than I am. When you get my age, it's good to be anyway. That's about right. And it is a blessing to be here. And it's good to be around folks with kindred spirit. Have a desire to know something about God, know more about Him. And the more you know about this blessed book that you hold in your hand, the more you'll know about Him. And this book teaches us about the actions of our God. This is His story. But God just didn't give it for history. He gave it to show us how He acts in certain circumstances of life. And if you'll let God teach you those things and lean on Him, how He acted then, He'll still act the same way today. There's a little phrase that we use sometime in the scripture, law first mentioned. You find a word like grace over in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. And you'll find that Noah found grace. It wasn't that Noah was looking for grace, but when God came to him, he found grace. He wasn't looking for God anymore. The rest of that heathen crowd was looking for him. So it teaches us you don't have to pray for grace. It just comes. No place in the scriptures which says pray for grace or ask for grace. It's just like on a cold November morning, you get up, the frost didn't fall, it formed. And that's what God's grace does. God's grace just forms on you. And that's what He teaches us. You find out what He says in chapter 6 about grace, and you'll follow that all the way through the Bible. Chapter 11, the book is Psalm. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string. They may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? For the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyelids, behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Thinking you can be seated. Let's pray together for just a brief moment. Our Father, I want to thank You for the God-given privilege, first of all, being saved. And I'm glad, God, You loved us while we were yet unlovely. And could I tell You one more time on this side of eternity, we love You tonight. We've been unlovely in so many ways, but I'm glad, Lord, it never scarred or marred Your love for us. And we want to praise You for it. Lord, You loved us enough to give us traveling grace to be in the house of God tonight. You've given us grace and strength and mercy all the roads. And we want to say thank You. And Lord, we've come to this crucial hour tonight. We've opened up Your blessed book and we've read a portion. And dear God, tonight I pray the Holy Spirit take Your word and take wings of it. And Lord, that You'd write indelibly upon our hearts the truth of God, that we may be able to stand up yonder when all the wicked things fall in on us. I'm glad we can stand on Your promises and know what real victory is. Lord, You know what this church needs. You know the desire of this precious preacher. And I pray You'd bring to pass those things that would glorify You and edify Your church. And we'll praise You for it. Then, our Father, we're keenly aware without the anointing of the power of God, we'll be just like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Take every bit of the pride out of us tonight
And help us to know we had not come here to parade the flesh, but we've come to worship God and adore you. I pray, Lord, that you'd somehow reveal yourself to us tonight. And we walk out of this building, we won't have to somebody tell us we've been to church. Thank God we'll know we've been to church by your divine presence as you manifested. Bless and undertake for every need tonight. Maybe somebody in this room never been to Calvary, know nothing about what it is to be transformed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. May this be the hour to hear the call of God and come to know you. Know you're right. It's life eternal. We bless you for it now. And again, we pray to anoint your servant with the power of God to preach your word. And we'll do our best to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as a springboard in that third verse, and you've heard this time and time again, if the foundations, it is plural, not talking about the foundation, he's talking about foundations here. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? You ought to ask yourself a question. Ask yourself, what am I going to do when the bottom falls out? When you've been employed for a long, long time and you're looking for that day when you say it's finished and I'll get rocking chair money and I'll have Social Security, you'll find out that it's neither social nor secure. Amen. But what are you going to do if you go in a few years before that and they terminate you and say you absolutely have no job? What's it going to do when the bottom falls out? What I want to talk with you about. When the foundation that you've depended upon, you've rested in, you found comfort in, what's going to do when that's gone? And by the way, it's going to happen to us one way or the other down the road. Just wish as well get prepared for it. Somewhere down the road, God's going to jerk the foundation from under us. Now the real foundation, oh, it'll stand. But there's going to be a lot of things that we place our comfort and our confidence in. It's not going to be there anymore. I say it over and over again. I just, this morning, as I went to class, one of the men said, Brother Mikey, did you know preacher so-and-so? I said, well, the name, but I did not know intimately. I'd met him a few times and said yesterday he committed suicide. The bottom fell out. You see, his wife told him 2 weeks ago that she had found another helpmate, and that helpmate was another she. And he couldn't take it, and he blew his brains out. I believe it went into the car shed. I believe it was in the carport and hooked up the hose and inside the car. I believe that's the way that he committed suicide. I want to ask you something. What you going to do when the bottom falls out? You say, well, preacher, my home is settled. You just think it is. Huh? You don't know what's going to happen down the road. Why, you could have talked to this young man a few weeks ago and everything would have been fine. But all of a sudden, the bottom gone. Bam! Out of here, gone. Now, somebody got news, don't think it was true, but somebody got news later today that his wife heard about and she killed herself. I hadn't heard that, but to be sure. But I'm going to tell you what, when the bottom falls out, brother, ain't nothing to hold to. You better, as a girl sang a little bit ago, you better learn to lean on Jesus. Everything else you lean on is going to go under. I'm going to ask you, what's you going to do when the bottom falls out? What's you going to do when you go down to the doctor? The doctor said you got 3 months, maybe less, to live. I'm not talking about with a dose of flu. I'm talking about something terminal. And that's going to happen to us one day after a while. If we don't pop and get out of here sudden, doctor's going to come in, family's going to come in, and it's going to be over. I mean, hey, it's over. I remember here a few years ago, well, it's been a long time ago, I sat in my study one afternoon. I was getting ready to preach, Brother Stan, I was getting ready to preach on over the book of Judges about Achan and how that he lost his family, got stoned to death. And I studied that, and God stopped me, and he said, now, I want you to do something for me. Anyone speaking that audible? Man, if you ever been around God speaks to you, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And the Lord said to a certain person, I want you to go up there now. I want you to go tell them to set their house in order. They're not going to live. I've never done that in my life. Had never done it before. Hadn't ever done it since. And I went up to that, just as I'm driving in the driveway, he is driving out. And I said to him, I said, see, I went by initials, Barbara Pizzeri. I said, God told me, and of course, I don't have to go into all details. God told me to come by and tell you, set your house in order. You're going to die. He turned right pale and he said, well, preacher, you told me. I said, indeed, rolled up my window, went back to the house. Devil said, you made a fool out of yourself. Wasn't too long after that till I was preaching his funeral. No, he preached his funeral. We just had a memorial service. I want to say, what's going to happen when the bottom falls out? You see, the next day after that, he said, I'd done something I hadn't done 13 years. I was a drunkard. I couldn't do without it. And I got all messed up in the church and said I started drinking. And make a long story short, bam, his heart blew out and he went to meet God. Saved or lost, that's between him and God. What's going to do when the bottom falls out? When everything you think that you've held on to falls apart and you've got nothing to hold on to, what's going to do? 2 weeks ago, young man, I had just finished a meeting with him. And I detected something, but I didn't think it was that serious. And the Sunday after I got through, his deacons came to him, and what few he had. Well, they wasn't deacons, really, just to be honest. We said, well, we just feel like it. Maybe you ought to step down. He said, did you feel like it, or did God tell you that? He said, well, he was one and bragged about how many preachers had gone through. And this young man called me and said, preacher, the bottoms fell out. What can I do? I'll tell you, I said, just lean on Jesus. Let God give you wisdom. I said, God can take care of every bit. I'm just simply saying tonight, what you going to do? Now, this scripture tells me what a lot of folks will do. Look at verse 1. This is what most Baptists that I know of, in the time of real crises, in the time when the bottom really falls out, here, listen to what he said. Flee as a bird to the mountain. I'll tell you what most Baptists do in trouble and hardships come, they run. Huh? I'll tell you what happened. A lot of folks at Parkwood, I hope you're not like that. I'll tell you what a lot of folks will do. If you have trouble here, they'll find somebody else that'll pat them on the back and tell them what a good job they're doing. I'll tell you, if we had preachers that call somebody else and say, why in the world did they leave your church? Let me know. And they'd say, but if you're out of fellowship, and I'm going to tell you something. We don't write letters of full fellowship to other churches. Amen. If they leave here out of fellowship, I'll tell my secretary to write down on that letter exactly why they left. And the preacher ought to have enough grit and gall to call from where he come from and said, why'd he leave? If enough of them knew that, bless God, they wouldn't have no, well, hallelujah, wouldn't have any place to go. Huh? Amen. We got incubators for grown-up babies. Amen. I'm here to tell you, most folks will run when trouble comes. Flee like a bird. Only recourse a bird has is to fly. Only way you can get out from a snake that crawls up a tree is to fly. Only way you can get away from a young boy's slingshot is to fly. And that's what a lot of folks do, is run. I don't tell you, my daddy taught me when I was a boy to come up. He said, buddy, I didn't raise you up to run. Stand your ground. Amen. I've learned if you're going to live for God, you have to stand your ground. We don't have to run from the devil. You know why? I look at Calvary. Praise God. He's already a defeated foe. Amen. Don't need to run, folks. When the bottom falls out, tighten up your belt buckle and say, I'm here for the duration. Amen. Don't run when the bottom falls out and you don't have anything to look to. Foundations may crumble and fall apart. But I want to tell you, thank God, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You'll find somebody. Don't run. Amen. Just find, bless your Lord God, scrooge up close to him. Tell him that you love him. And the only hope you got is in the blessed Lord. Don't run. Because I'll tell you what to do. When you run, you wind up right where you started. I used to, when I was a young boy in high school, I used to run the 100 yards. And I can hardly walk them. But we'd run in and we'd make that circle and was all over right back where I started. Huh? That's what you do when you run. Right back where you started. By the way, look up here at me. I don't see how in the world that folks can sit on a Sunday afternoon and see these folks go 600 miles around a little old track and what, just go around and around and around and around and wind up right where they started. If that's entertainment, it don't take much to entertain you. Huh? Wind up in the same place. That's what folks do when they run. You don't accomplish a thing in the world, is what I'm trying to say, by running. You don't flee. You stand. Don't run from what God's doing. You see, sometimes God allows these things to come to show us that He'll help us in all our difficulties. Notice that first little phrase in that book. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. Praise God, when the bottom falls out, you can't depend on some folks and most folks, but you can depend on God. Amen. Amen. He never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad, thank God, I got somebody. I don't have to run. I can stand. Amen. It's easy to run from it. But it takes a man to stand when the bottom falls out. What's he going to do? I'm going to flee. I'm going to flee to the mountains. What David said. Said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. Can't get away from God. Can't get away from him. I was a young man growing up. My dad is a preacher. And I had a couple of brothers as preacher. And grandpa's a preacher. And two or three sisters that wanted to preach. And I come a preaching family, and I just decided I'm not gonna preach. You know, God isn't bothering me, and I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just get out and get away from God. I get out of church, and God won't bother me anymore." Well, that's a fool thing to do. In fact, this past Saturday, I buried my brother-in-law. He and I was real close, and he was about 3 years older than I had married my sister, and was good friends. And we'd set it and play rook at night, you know. And I thought I was having a good time way back inside. There's a storm of brewing. And I was running from God, and I knew that. And I remember we just moved a little old apartment up the street. And we played rook till about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's real entertainment, isn't it? I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning playing. So they left, and wife and I got in the bed and went to sleep. And I thought, well, I'll sleep till dinner time tomorrow. And the next morning, about 9 o'clock, I didn't recognize it. But right up the street was a little old Baptist church. And about 9 o'clock that morning, that old boy went out and got a hold of that rope. And that old bell went ding, dong. That's what sounded most folk. But I put my head up under the cover. God was getting a hold of me. It wasn't saying ding, dong. It was saying, Brother Stanza, come home. I'd run as far as I could run. I couldn't get away from God. How far foolish I was. And then, thank God, I found the place one day. Fell in the arms of my blessed Lord God. And I'm grateful I did. What a blessing. You don't have to run, folk, in this world. That's what this world wants. We who are saved by the grace of God still believe that blessed book and the blood and the blessed hope. They want us to hush up. You know what they're using today? The tactics of fear against God's church. Get men afraid to preach the word. I remember I was on a radio station, and they broadcast all of our services at 11 o'clock in the auditorium, and it's live. And a fella came to me and said, a battle over liquor. And a fella came to me and said, Brother Lockheed, they said the radio station probably best if you didn't get on this liquor this morning. I said, I'm glad you told me. I said to myself, I hadn't planned on it, but I'm going to bust her wide open this morning. Amen. 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 I want to tell you, that's what this world wants you to do, is to flee. They have those fear tactics on you. Don't you talk about gays. In fact, ain't no such a thing as sodomites. Huh? Amen. lost and on their road to hell, protected by our government, raping little children, and protect them. I'll tell you, that's the reason for where we are tonight. Amen. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to bust them as hard as I can, as long as I can. They can use their fear tactics if they won't. I about run my race anyhow. Amen. I'm here to say, don't run, stand. God's looking for somebody. When the smoke goes away, we'll still be standing. Been counted for God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, young folks. Best and most excited thing you can do is to line up with God and live for Him. Listen, you think it'd be exciting to go to the moon with somebody like that? No. Most exciting thing you can ever do is to find your way with God and live for the Lord and watch God do something in your life. You can see miracles after miracle and the providence of God and the power of God demonstrated that the world knows nothing about. I say, praise God. Don't run. Just stand and be counted for God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one recourse. When the bottom falls out, just run. Run, but where you going to go? Round and around. You wind up in the same place. Don't help you a bit to run. All you do is wear yourself out. Huh? Amen. You can't run from trouble. It's going to follow you wherever you go. You're saved by the grace of God for certain. We can run our... Notice what it said in the next little phrase here. It said, lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. Now look at this. That they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Now you could get a good translation of that. Privately is talking about in the dark. The devil likes to operate in the dark. Privately. And by the way, you know what the devil do? Devil gets you thinking that what you're thinking is your ideas. And he's the one approving you to do that. Huh? That's what he'll do. And so he said here, you can either flee or you can fight. Amen. Now Paul said, I fought a good fight. It's not hard to get Baptists to fight. But it's hard to give them to fight a good fight. Amen. But listen, you've got something to fight for tonight. Amen. You got something to stand for. Boy, I'm glad, preacher, back when I was a little kid, I'm glad I had somebody to fight for me. Glory to God. I mean, stand the gap. Listen, that's hard to tell where I'd have been with the mean streakers in my life if somebody hadn't fought for me and stood in the gap for me. Hard to tell where I might have been. But I'm glad I had a good old praying daddy and a praying mama that loved me. Praise God and taught me how to fight the battles and stand with God. Well, what a blessing. What a blessing. I remember as a lad of a boy, every night. Boy, it's a good practice. You mamas and daddy ought to try this. It'll work. My brother preached every night at 9 o'clock. I was up pretty grown before I could get to stay up past 9 o'clock. And the latest I could get to stay out was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at the most. And we had to be home then. I mean, I got married when I was just short of 20 years old. And Daddy said, as long as you live under my roof, put your knees under my table, you're going to do like I say. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Amen. Call it philosophy, whatever you please. Amen. And he said, now I'm going to give you allowances. You know, I'll give you allowance. And he did. He said, James will allow you 5 minutes to get them hogs fed. That's allowance we got. Amen. Now, kids got to have a dime nor a dollar anymore to carry the trash out. What's it going to give me? Then he said, I'll give you part of that sweet hickory tree out yonder if you don't do it. That's what they give me. Why did God teach parents to make children obedient to them? If you don't learn, listen, young people, if you don't learn the authority of the parenthood in your home, you'll never bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the reason this bunch in the White House for the last 25 years have tried to destroy at the discipline in our churches, in our schools, and in our land. I'll tell you why. It's to teach those children, mamas and dad don't have any authority over you. Because they want the government to have that authority. Huh? God has a principle written down in His blessed book you can't get away from. I want to tell you, mothers and daddy, fight for what you believe for. Amen. Stand up this crowd. My daddy would have been in prison if it had all these laws that they have now about child abuse. Son, I've had some pretty rough whips on the back of my legs a few times. By the way, it didn't cause an inferiority complex either. It made me have inferiority. But I'll tell you something. We've gotten away from it. Now, you know what's happened? We don't fight what's right. Do you know the reason? Do you know the reason we've got crime like it is today when there is no responsibility, there is no accountability? If you don't have to give an account of what you do. For instance, you want to do old schoolhouse. They used to take them. The first thing you do, to take it a hand, bend it down, had a little paddle about that wide. And it would sting.
Yes, sir.
How you know? Read between the lines. We had to be under a discipline. You know what to do now? All right. We're going to expel you for 3 days. Deedly dumb. Throw a bear rabbit in the briar patch. Huh? That's what they want anyway. It's not teaching kids anything. Just getting them out of school. See, there's no accountability. No responsibility when there's no accountability. Why, listen, I can do as I please. I can't do anything. And they'll stand up and stick a tongue out and teach them. Or they'd lock me up if I was teaching. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, yeah. This fellow, he'd be acting me before the sun got up in the morning. I'm going to tell you something. We've got to fight. Stand up for what's right in these days. We'll come out winners on the other end. Amen. Amen. Don't flee. Stand and fight. I'm going to tell you something, church. We was talking today and yesterday as well. There's not many old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-thumping, hellfire preaching anymore. Not many churches that still stand by the principles of that King James Bible. Are you listening to them? They're out for easy believism. Expressive dancing. You ever know Joe Parson? Boy, he could do some expressive dancing. Boy, he's got that old big Indian could buck dance on the pulpit. My soul. But we've changed today. I say we, not me. Praise God. Paul said, I've kept the faith.
Amen.
I believe God's people found some principles in this blessed book, and you won't turn from it. You know what? You know. Let me just tell you a little secret. How much time I got? Do you know what? Do you know what's got us in the mess that we're in right now? You just think about the responsibility of the children of God. We ought to live for the Lord and stand for God and stand in the gap like we ought to. And if we'll stand like we ought to and keep our head above the water, God's going to hear our prayers. God's going to hear us. If we just stand for God, don't give in, and don't give up. Because you see, there's not many of us left anymore. Because you see, back yonder when they first started changing our Bible, you know what you do when you, just for instance, you buy a garage door opener. I bought one here a few years ago, and I got the instructions, and I laid them out there in the garage, and they got all my pieces laying out, and I thought, well, I'm going to put this thing together. And boy, none of it wouldn't work. I mean, just a mess. And I called one of the men in the church, his contractor. I said, won't you look at this? I said, but there's something wrong here. You got to look, and he said, preacher, you got a door, and the instructions are different than the door. He said, you're trying to put that door up with instructions of another door. Are you getting the message? You know what happened? They started fooling with this book. They take the directions out of it. And when you start doing that, it loses its authority and power. And when churches start losing the authority and the power, You know what? When they kind of found that out, they're not going to go back. So you know what they did? They turned this whoopity doop doop pop boom boom.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. They got the entertainment preacher.
Yes, sir.
Didn't have no Bible. We lost authority. And that's the reason today we can't fight off all these problems falling around us today. We got no authority, no power. Right here's your authority and power. It's not something been cut all to pieces. Cut the blood out of it. And you don't have the masculine and the feminine in a lot of the books, you know. Just took the power and authority out of it. And we got weak churches. Oh, they got numbers, yeah. They got numbers at the football game. But I don't see too many get saved at the football game. Whole lot of excitement, but not much results out of it. By the way, I was told the other day, I said, why in the world? They get out there on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night or a Monday night, and I mean, put them old helmets on and all them pads and knock each other down and sometimes break bones and send some of them to the hospital. And all after is that one football. I said, give each one of them a ball and let them go to hell. I'm saying we got something to stand for. The only hope of your family, the only hope of your community, the only hope today is that little, and God, glory to God, God's going to see that there's going to be that little remnant of the church that still believes that blessed book and the blessed hope and the return of our blessed Lord God. There's going to be that, and I want to be in that crowd, don't you? I don't want to be in that crowd that gives up and runs. I want to be in that crowd standing for that blessed old book. Amen. Well, glory to God. All right. I'm going to have to hurry on. I'm going to have to hurry. It's good to me tonight. Good to me tonight. Now, the Lord just said in verse 4, you got to realize, among all of this, he said the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Folks, you got to remember, God hadn't lost his authority. God hadn't lost his power. God's still on the throne, his things in his hand. And if they ever sign your book, I always put in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Why? According to his purpose. You know why? God said, I'm on the throne. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever may come your way, just remember, I'm in control. Now that's pretty good until it comes down to your house. It's just like somebody said, surgery's not very serious until it's you. Then it's serious. But the blessed Lord God saying right here, I'm on the throne. I'm still in control. And the reason when it comes to our house, and we really, really don't get this thing together about all things work together, it's because, number one, you don't know all the story. And we won't know it till it's all over. But we've got to take it by faith that all things will work together for our good and his glory. And then we hadn't understood the sovereignty of God in working out these things for our honor, for our glory, his glory and honor. But when we do that, we can recognize, what did he say? Just remember, he's on the throne. Hadn't changed. He's still got this thing in his hand. I have to remind myself every day when I see all this. I was talking to an officer a little bit ago. Fox News had on, I didn't see it. One of my men came in the lunchroom this morning on his way to class and opened up his little notebook and had a little song that was singing. You remember you used to teach these children, God loves all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Well, they're singing that and said, Obama loves all the little children of the world.
Yes, sir.
Right, where they had Jesus' name ahead of his name.
Yeah.
Boy, I want to tell you, that's the first cousin of Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I get excited. Somebody said, what's this coming to? It's a coming to his coming. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's slip on. Now, he said, when you recognize this, look at the latter part of that verse 4. His eyes behold, his eyelids try
the children in. Now, you know what he's saying? Let me tell you what he's saying here. When he said, first of all, I'm watching you. My eyelids behold. And then he said, his eyelids try. Now, I'm going to tell you what he's talking about here. I pulled my glasses off. And I just nearly, preacher, be legally blind. I can pick up the Bible. And the only word I could really read is the top of that page where it says Psalms. Honestly. I mean, the rest of it is blurred. But tell you what I can do. And I can read it. And that's what that book's saying. Behold his eyelids. What he's saying, I'm squinching my eyes. Just like I've got my eyes on nobody but Stan Warlaw.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to know whatever problems you're going through, God Almighty's got his eyes squinched on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's got his eyes squinched
yes, sir.
On you.
Amen.
Amen. You
Amen.
Remember that when the bottom falls out and the smoke bellows going all around you and the doors are falling in and the walls are shaking. You just remember God's got it. Whoop. Woo. God's got his eyelids squinched on you. You're not out of his sight nor out of his mind or off of him. Glory to God.
Yes.
Woo. I want to say he's got his eyes squinched on you. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Boy, I know God's got his eyes. I used to travel a whole lot, leave a meeting. I've left down South Mississippi after meeting on Friday night, drive all night long. I'm 40 years younger than I am now. Drive all night long. And boy, I thought about many times through dangers, toils, and snares have already come because God had his eyes squished on me. Amen. Come through things I'll never know about. Come through by the devil's tried to kill me and you. Are you listening? But I'm glad God had his eyes squinched on me. He said, devil, keep away from me.
Yeah.
God has his eye on what you're going through tonight. I don't know how your bottom falls out. You may feel like you ought to do that. But I want to tell you, just remember, God's got his eyes on you. God's got you drawn in. God's watching over you. And if you just keep leaning on God, don't run. Just stand for God. He said, I got my eyes on you. Ain't nothing going to happen to you that I hadn't got complete control over. When I was a young man, I used to deliver, somebody may remember, used to have go to door to door and deliver milk. You remember that? And I was delivering milk for Catawba Dairy over in Hickory a long time ago. It has been. And I came in, my route manager told me, said James, here's an address. I got a new customer, so-and-so and so-and-so. And I said, yeah, pass there every morning. Won't be much trouble. So I jumped out of the truck the next morning about 5 o'clock, 4 daylight. I jumped out of my truck and started out across the yard. And first time delivered, so there was no bottles to pick up. And I left whatever they called for, a couple of quarts or whatever. I sat and I turned around. And there stood the bulldog. Didn't have a bottle. Didn't have a thing over there stood. I said, what in the world am I going to do? I mean, that's an ugly thing to start with. And he's there at the step. What am I going to do? I finally eased around. And I finally got where I could get, and I took off and got in the truck. Bam. I went to route manager. I said, that's not good English. I ain't going back no more. Said, why? I said, I ain't fighting no bulldog at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, I ain't going to do it. So I come in the next day. He said, got it all fixed up. Said, that bulldog won't be there anymore. They've got him pinned up. He won't be back. I said, all right. I went back and ran out across the yard, put the bottles down, picked up the bottle, and here come that bulldog right around the house. Come so far. As far as he go, chain got him. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, please don't let that rope break. Oh, Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The devil can't go any further than God allows him to go. God's got him roped.
Because God's got his eyes squinched on you.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah. You're not just anybody. You're somebody tonight. Because you're God's young and he will look after you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me close. It's good to know that he's got his eyes squinched on you. I want you to read that last little phrase in that seventh verse. For the Lord, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Now, the secret to that little phrase is his countenance. And what he's saying this, you go through that time when God has his eyes squinched, and you know that. There's a promise. God's got his eyes squinched on you. But now he's saying, you just live faithful. And I'm going to show you my countenance. I'm going to let you see me. You know I'm seeing you. And now I'm in the midst of this. You can get to see me. I'll let you look on my countenance. I'll let you gaze on the beauty of my face. Now we won't see him. You understand this, don't you? That means that God said, I'll let you know I'm looking at you. I'll let you know that my presence is with you. It won't be just a promise, but it's going to be my countenance. It's going to shine in your heart, and you know I'm there. I say, praise God. I want to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. It lets me look in his face. Boy, I open this blessed book. And I've never seen him, won't see him till then. Nobody else has. Amen.
Amen.
But one day we will. We'll get to behold him. But until then, I'll read this blessed book. And there he is. I'll read page after page. And there he is. I'll read that. I see his frowns on my sin. But I see him smile on my blessing. He lets me see his face. I'm going to say this more close. How long has it been since you saw the face of Jesus? I'm saying really this. How long has it been since he's been real to you? When he's real to you, how long has it been? Brother Stan, a young man, and I was over here at Charlotte. I was driving an oil tanker. And I was making good money, running from God. And I was coming out of Paul Creek. That's where they load all the fuel in Charlotte, that area. I'd filled up and I was on my way out. Had old 24 white. That was a gasoline engine. That wasn't a whole lot of diesels on the road back then. That's 1952 or 3. Been a long time. That's before most of you got here. But I was driving down the road. Got top of this hill and third and high four. And when I did, I seen down at the bottom of the hill, a little slight curve. I saw a car sitting, two wheels up in the road, two off on the shoulder. Little narrow bridge, that little Studebaker, I found that later, head right toward that embutment. Coming down the hill on the other side is an empty tanker. Going to the terminal field. I hit my brakes. The diaphragm and those talons burst. If you know anything about equipment, that's more than dragging your feet down the road. All that gas pushing me down that hill. I wouldn't try to gear it down. Because if I ever got out of high fourth, I'd probably never get in lower gear. Not the way that load is pushing that tractor. But in those moments, coming down that hill, God got him again. Brother Stan saw his countenance. Had not God, and I'm not trying to hallucinate, had not God took his hand or took angels and pushed that Studebaker up in the road, I would have been in a fiery grave that day. But God,
let me see his countenance. It was real to me. In the cab of that truck. Changed my life. Put your stake. How long has it been since God has been real to you? I'm not talking about the last time I read your Bible. I'm not talking about the last time you prayed. I'm not talking about when you've seen somebody else. But how long has it been since you saw the countenance of God? If you don't see the countenance of God, you're going to be fleeing like a bird when the bottom falls out. But if you see the countenance of our Lord, He's real. And you know that now. But if you're living on somebody else's experience, you're shipwrecked. And what shall the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? Just stand.